Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of why Jesus came to earth and how we should live in the light of it. Jesus came to reestablish the reign of God in men and through men on this earth. That word reign means kingdom, and kingdom means reign. He came to establish the reign of God, or the kingdom of God, in men and through men on this earth. Jesus, in his first words when he began his public ministry, said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus paid the price for sin so that it could be removed and God could bring his kingdom into us and then establish his kingdom on this earth. Now, this week, we're specifically focusing on a revelation that was given to the Apostle Paul. We've made the point earlier in the week that the Apostle Paul was personally taught the gospel he preached by Jesus himself, and the Lord revealed a number of mysteries to him. Mystery is something in the plan and purpose of God that up to that time had not been revealed to anyone. And one of the revelations he was given is the fact that we are in the kingdom and the kingdom is in us. Now, we're specifically focusing right now on what does it mean that we're in the kingdom, and we'll get to what does it mean that the kingdom is in us. Now, we said yesterday, you may be thinking this has nothing to do with real life, and I've got real problems and I need real help. But the kingdom of God is a real place. It's a kingdom of full power and full provision. And to have the kingdom in you, and to be in the kingdom, means you have access to the power and the provision of this kingdom. So this is a very practical lesson. If you knew that you had resources available with you, available to you to deal with the challenges you're facing, it'd make a whole lot of difference. A lot of times we're begging God to give us what he's already said, it's yours. Go out and use it. But we don't know what we have, let alone how to use it. So we beg him to give us what he's already made available. Now, we said yesterday, you have to understand, first of all, that there's more to reality than what we see with our five physical senses. There is an unseen, invisible realm or kingdom, the kingdom of God. We discuss that in detail. It is a kingdom of full power and full provision, and this invisible realm can produce tangible changes and results in this visible material world. Jesus administered the power of this kingdom to produce visible results. Now, if you've been with us the past couple weeks, one of our themes is Jesus came to earth to make it possible for us to become sons of God through paying the price for sin so it could be removed and we could be born of God. And he also, during his earth walk, his earth ministry, showed us what sons of God look like, how they live, how they act, how they relate to their Father in heaven, how they relate to other people. Jesus is actually the pattern for God's family. Last week we discussed Romans 8, 29 and 30, which says it's God's will that we be conformed to the image of Jesus, or made like Jesus in character and power. See, he accessed the unseen power and provision of the kingdom of God. He didn't do that because he was God. He did it as a man. Jesus is God become a man without ceasing to be God. But while on earth, he didn't live as God. He lived as a man in dependence on the power of his Father. But he knew how to administer the power of the kingdom to produce visible results. And he is our example of how sons of God live. Now, I realize very few of us get anywhere even close to walking as Jesus walked, although that is the standard. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says, if any man says he abides in Christ, he ought to walk even as Jesus walked. But I say this all the time because I mean it. I would rather shoot for the stars and get halfway there than aim for the lamppost and hit it. I would rather set my sights on walking as Jesus walked and get halfway there than do nothing and just say, oh, well, I'm only human. Now, Jesus administered the invisible power of the kingdom to produce tangible results in this life. Because of the cross and the new birth, we are now citizens of the kingdom, and we are authorized to administer its power. To be in the kingdom means to be a citizen of the kingdom. Philippians 3:20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for our Savior." Now, Webster's dictionary says, citizenship is the state of being vested with the rights and duties of a citizen. A citizen owes its allegiance to the government and is entitled to its protection and its privileges. Citizenship means you're invested with rights and you're entitled to the protection and privileges of the kingdom of which you are a citizen. It also means you have certain duties and obligations to that kingdom. That's a whole lesson for another day, but I want to focus on the fact that we have, as citizens of heaven, we've been invested with rights and we're entitled to protection and privileges. Now, Paul wrote these words here in Philippians 3:20, which says we're citizens of heaven. He was given the revelation, we are in the kingdom, and the kingdom is in us. To be in the kingdom means to be a citizen of the unseen, invisible kingdom of God. Paul is the one who wrote these words. Let's consider what citizenship meant to him to give his statement a context. Paul was a Roman citizen. He was a Jew, but he was also a citizen of the Roman Empire. Now, that's a whole can of worms, how all that works. But he had citizenship in Rome. And he knew, as a Roman citizenship, he knew that citizenship meant rights and privileges. Citizenship in Rome meant the right to vote, the right to hold office, the right to appeal to Caesar, the right to contract a legal marriage, the right to hold property. Roman citizens could not be bound, beaten, condemned, or punished without being heard. They had the right to what you and I would call a trial. Rome controlled vast amounts of territory at its peak. But Roman citizenship superseded all else before the law, and it gave a person an elevated position throughout the Roman Empire. To be a citizen of Rome trumped the laws, like Paul. He was a Jew born in the Middle East. Well, Roman laws and Roman citizenship trumped the legal structure there. Adam Clark, who was a noted Hebrew and Greek Bible scholar in the late 1700s, quoted ancient Roman secular manuscripts about the prevailing culture of the day, and he wrote these words. Listen to this. That exclamation, "I am a Roman citizen," has brought assistance and safety, even among barbarians in the remotest parts of the world. In other words, being a citizen of Rome got you results no matter where you were in the Roman Empire, even if you were amongst barbarians. Now, we see that in the Bible. You may recall in Acts chapter 22, Paul went to the city of Jerusalem and a riot broke out because the Jews thought he was teaching people to abandon the law of Moses. And they also thought he had brought a Gentile into the temple and had defiled it. Well, Roman soldiers intervened and kept the crowd from beating Paul to death. I mean, he literally was in danger of his life, but Roman soldiers intervened and stopped him, not because they cared about Paul, but the Roman soldiers stationed in Jerusalem were under orders from Caesar to keep order in that part of the world. Roman soldiers intervened and kept the crowd from beating Paul to death. Well, he asked for a chance to speak to the crowd. And he began to speak in Hebrew, so he got everybody's attention. Well, when he said Jesus sent him to preach to the Gentiles, the mob went crazy again because the Jews hated the Gentiles. Roman officials grabbed him, pulled him away, and they decided they were going to tie him up and beat him to get to the bottom of the situation. What is this all about? That was going to be their interrogation plan, tie him up and beat him. Well, it didn't happen because they learned that Paul was a Roman citizen. He announced, "I am a citizen of Rome." And the soldiers at that point were terrified because they knew mistreatment of a Roman citizen on their part could mean expulsion from the army, possible arrest in jail, and even execution. Now, the same thing happened to Paul in the city of Philippi. You may recall, Acts chapter 16, he cast a devil out of a servant girl. The spirit enabled her to tell fortunes, and her masters made money by charging for the fortunes. And they turned Paul into local magistrates. They beat Paul and his traveling ministry partner, Silas, beat him and jailed him, chained him up. But God delivered them. But it came to light shortly thereafter that he was a Roman citizen and they had beaten him and imprisoned him without trial. And they were terrified. If you read in Acts chapter 16, they were terrified and they begged Paul and Silas, please leave, please go, because they knew they could get in a lot of trouble. So that's when Paul said, we are citizens of the kingdom. He had that idea in mind. It gave him an elevated position in the Roman Empire. It protected him. He had the backing of the Roman government, the greatest power in the world. To be in the kingdom of God means to be a citizen of heaven. And as citizens, we have rights and privileges here on earth. One translation of Philippians 3:20 says, we are a colony of heaven. I like that. A colony is a territory under the political and economic rule of a nation. The mother country is the source of power and provision for the colony. When Paul was in Jerusalem, he was very far from the capital of Rome, yet he had the backing of Rome. That was his mindset when he wrote Philippians 3:20. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, a real place in the unseen realm. Although we don't yet live in the mother country, it is our home, our protection, our source, and we have rights and privileges. Amen.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.